జయం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నితినిరా ప్రవిష్ట ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతగుడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపగోవిందాన శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namama Shukadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhudale Shri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Prajarine Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashati Deshadarine. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవానవాత్ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్సవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేషా నాతస్త్వం నో యత ప్రభో మామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం భరం జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయా ఇదయదస్ అర్థేషు అభిజ్ఞస్వరాణ్ తేనే బ్రహ్మహృదాయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్సూరయా తేజోవారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్రా త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైలవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వావరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదే ప్రకృతి శుశ్రూషుభిః తక్షణాత్ నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుభముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమః యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనువేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహగాదరమజ్జుహావ పుత్రే విధన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిదిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణు కొణిదాదృగాననేందోః మమ వాజి విజృంభదాం మురారే మధురిం కనికాపి కాపి కాపి నమా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషా శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమళం కూజయం వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురదో మమ. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాదమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమయాధ్యాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవిందనామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. So, when Uddhava first time mentioned to Krishna, Satyasya de sudrisham atmana atmanonyam, that there is no one, Uddhava says to Krishna, Satyasya de sudrisham atmana atmanonyam, samsara yakramabudeshu vinanu chakshem, సర్వే విమోహిత దియా తవ మాయ ఏమే బ్రహ్మాదయ స్థనుభృతో బహిరర్థ భావాః. దట్ ద బ్యాక్గ్రౌండ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ టు ఉద్ధవ ఇస్ లైక్ దిస్. ఉద్ధవ అప్రోచ్ కృష్ణ దిస్ వన్ రిక్వెస్ట్. వాట్ వాస్ దాట్? సత్యస్య దే సుదృశమాత్మనమాత్మనోన్యం. దేర్ ఈస్ నో వన్ హూ ఈస్ మోర్ క్వాలిఫైడ్ టు ఇన్స్ట్రక్ట్ మీ అబౌట్ ద ట్రూత్, అబౌట్ ది అబ్సల్యూట్ ట్రూత్. దిస్ వాస్ ఇమీడియట్ glorification of Krishna from Uddhava. Samsara vakrama vijeshu binanu jakshe sarve vimohita dhiyaha. All the other devadas, Brahma, Shiva, everyone, samsara chakra vimohita dhiyaha, they are also under the control of illusory energy of Krishna. Brahma adayastani brudo bhirartha bhavaham. Because even their mind sometimes goes outwards. Sometimes it goes outwards. Anyone whose mind is external cannot make advancement in the spiritual side. This is the underlying principle. So if Brahma's mind and Lord Shiva's mind even can go outside, Bahirartha Bhava. Bahirartha Bhava means to deviate from the truth. The truth is inside. So one who is reflecting, goes inwards looking for the truth, he will find the truth. That is what Krishna's major point he is making to Uddhava also later. That Brahmadeya Sanabhrado Bhirartha Bhava Tasmad Bhavandam Anavadyam Anandavaram Sarvajnyam Ishwaram Agunda Vikunda Dishnim Nirvinnadi Ahamuha Brajana Abhitapto Narayano Narasakho Sharanam Bravadhyem. Uddhava surrenders to Krishna exactly like Arjuna surrendered to Krishna. Uddhava also says to Krishna that nirvinnadhi ahamukha vrajana abhidapto, that a certain maturity has attained in his life, the detachment and the renunciation from material world, that qualifies Uddhava. So he says, nirvinnadhi, my intelligence is now completely freed from the material entanglement. I am not anymore controlled by the material energy. Uddhava says to Krishna, ahamukha vrajana abhidapto narayanam narasakham sharanam prabadhyem. Therefore, I surrender to you the Supreme Personality, Narayana, who is right in front of me to instruct me further about the truth. So, in Vedas or Vedic literature, you will find, we are not called a person looking for God. No, it's not mentioned like that anywhere. The word used is Satyanveshanam, inquiring after the truth. Because having realized the falsity of the material world, or having realized the temporary nature of the material world and unable to come to terms with the material existence, the jiva or the living entity inquires after the truth. That is at a particular stage in life. It happens to most of the people. So therefore he is called Satyanveshanam. Satyanveshanam means inquiring for the truth. So here Uddhava is saying to Krishna that you are that supreme person who is qualified to instruct us about this point. And it is then that Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, anyone who has come to this platform, he can start from his own soul. That is what he said there. In the Bhagavatam you will find that earlier when he mentioned about that, he said that Atmano Guru Atmaiva Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshana Anumanabhyam Shreyasa Anuvindade. That is the important verse there. Atmano Guru Atmaiva, the spiritual knowledge begins from inside, from one's own inside. It is not something coming from outside. When that pakvada or maturity develops inside and proper inquiry begins, instruction starts coming from inside. Atmano Guru Atmaiva, Krishna says to Uddhava that your own soul acts as the spiritual master in the beginning. Purushasya Visheshada, he has got that special capacity to do that. Why? Pratyakshan Anumanabhyam Shreyasa Anuvindade. Directly he can instruct you or he can give you the intelligence to inquire after that Anumanam through the process of inference. Shreyasa Anuvindade. He will reach that state of understanding. And then the inquiry has begun and we were talking about that, that the Krishna's instruction, Uddhava, begins with the first what is known as Mamata Nirasa. Mamata Nirasa means how to break away the attachment from this world. And the importance of breaking that attachment from this world, that was the first requirement. And it is in that connection, Krishna spoke to Uddhava, that there was a great personality in our own, and among our own ancestors, referring to King Yadu. And Krishna says to Uddhava, that I will now talk to you about a conversation, what happened between King Yadu and Atreya Maharshi, Dattatreya Maharshi, in the banks of the river Kaveri many, many thousands of years ago. Krishna kept this incident and wanted to explain to Uddhava that how Dattatreya Maharshi progressed in his spiritual life. Perhaps by seeing that, we also will get an understanding that what, how to make that progress in the spiritual path. So it is in that situation that we saw there that the, when the instructions began, when the instructions began, first of all, he brought Dattatreya Maharshi and told to Yadu that Dattatreya Maharshi says that I have taken instructions from 24 different spiritual masters in this world. Prithvi, Vayu, Akasham, Abam, Agni, Chandraman, Ravi, Kapodam, Ajagaram, Sindhu, Padangam, Madhugarul, Gaja, Madhuha, Harino, Meena, Pingala, Kuraram, Arbhaga, Kumari, Sharavat, Sarpam, Urnanabhi, Supeshakrat. 24 spiritual masters. He listed there. Among them, we have seen what the Dattatreya Maharshi learned from the first 5 material elements. What are they? Prithvi, Vayu, Agasham, Avam, Agni. Earth, water, air, ether and fire. How these 5 material elements, what they taught the Dattatreya Maharshi. And how he understood certain valuable things from them in order to advance on the spiritual side. How they, he has accepted them as their spiritual master. How they accepted, he accepted them as their spiritual master. The first 5 material elements. After that we saw what the sun and the moon had to say to the Dattatreya Maharshi. The Dattatreya Maharshi found a lot. The Dattatreya Maharshi found a lot of valuable things to learn from sun and the moon, which we have also spoken about. So the 5 material elements, then the sun and the moon. After that, we have seen the story of the Kapoda birds or the pigeons, the male and the female bird, their family life, and eventually what was instructions from them, what the Dattatreya Maharshi has found valuable. And using those examples, the Dattatreya Maharshi is telling us that in the last chapter you will see there that yaprapya manusham deham mukti dvaram apavratam griheshu khagaval saktam tamarudachudam vidu. This is the most important verse in that chapter. Yaprapya manusham lokam. In the Vedic system or the understanding of the Vedas as well as the sages, all those great sages who have instructed us in the spiritual life, they had only one thing to tell us. Very, very... Yam prapya manusham logam mukti dvaram abhavradam griheshu khagaval saktam tamaru dachudam vidum. That the conclusion from the Vedic literature is that human body and human life has one most important purpose. One most important purpose. And this life is a precious thing. Human body is a very precious thing. Compared to all other bodies, human body has some speciality. We will be discussing that later in the end of this chapter, when Krishna moves on to the next most important chapter in the Ekadasham, one of the most important chapters in the Ekadasham, the chapter 10. When it comes, you will see so much stress given to human life and human body. How can it be utilized for the best? How can one get the best benefit or the best returns from this human body before you leave this body? So they have given importance to human life more than anything else. Therefore he says there, yaprapya manusham logam, that after obtaining a human body, if one has not utilized it properly, what is that? Mukti dvaram apavridam. If you keep one step further in this body, you can get out of this cycle of birth and death. That is the beauty of human body. In no other body it is possible to escape from the cycle of birth and death or transmigration of the soul except in the human form. And therefore, there it says, yaprapya manusham logam. What is the beauty of this human body? Mukti dvaram abhavadam. That it is so close to liberation if it is utilized properly. If it is utilized properly, it is very close to liberation. Otherwise, griheshu khagaval saktam. Just like this kapoda birds or the pigeons, what we are talking about. If you get attached like that in the house of Allah, tamaru dachudam vidu, you will fall. And once you fall, to come back to this position again may take a very, very, very long time. That opportunity is lost. So having spoken that, we have seen about the kapoda birds, how they have, what lessons the Tathagata Maharshi learned from them. It is after that, we continue with the other five major spiritual masters, what he learned from them, particularly in reference to Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam and Gandham. Isn't it? That's what we're talking about. Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandham. What are they? Shabdam means the sound. Sparsham is touch. Rupam is form. Rasam is taste. And Gandham is smell. These five things are called Panja Tanmatras. Tanmatras means that if we look into our senses of knowledge, they are able to function because these potencies has been given to our senses. This potency has been given to our senses. And only because of that, our senses are able to enjoy different things or suffer according to the situation. So happiness and distress, what we are enjoying in this world through our senses, is purely due to the presence of these different senses in the body. So here, and they are called Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandham, or sound, touch, form, taste and smell. And these five material elements, their tanmatras are this. They have this quality in them. Earth, water, air, ether and fire, they have these qualities connected with that. We have spoken about that in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam while creation was discussed. How the tanmatras and the material elements are connected to each other. In the process of creation they come. In the sargam, if you remember. So, important thing is that these five tanmatras, what we call as tanmatra, they have an important lesson to teach us. How do we learn? But we learn that through different living entities, each one of them suffering due to the particular weakness of that particular sense. For example, we could see that the moth or the firefly, due to its attraction for seeing, seeing is one of the senses, isn't it? One of the senses. Due to its attraction for rupam or form, when it sees the fire, immediately it is attracted by the form of the fire, and without thinking about anything, it goes into the fire, its wings get burned in that process, it falls into the fire and gets killed. Similarly, if we have not, the human society, human being also, if he does not control his eyes, which means that if he does not restrict his eyes from seeing certain things in this world, particularly in the modern world where everything is very completely uncontrolled, in order to hide the business, different kinds of things they use to attract your attention to your eyes. And if ever such posters or some kind of advertisements, if you look at them without your knowledge, that vasana builds up inside. And another time, immediately if nothing has happened, another point, it can happen that vasana can come out in some form, and that will cause the degradation of the person. So therefore, through this example of the moth or the firefly, who was actually attracted by the fire, the Dattatreya Maharshi is saying, I learned from this one important thing, that I should not get victimized by my eyes. In other words, discrimination at that point, what to see and what not to see. When you see some things which are not favorable for Krishna consciousness, we have to learn to withdraw our senses from there, our eyes from that scene. This is the most important thing. Because everything in the modern world is distraction. Distraction for what? To take us away from Krishna. So therefore, how eyes one should control, that we have seen at that time. Drishtva Astriyam, verse number 7 in chapter 8. Drishtva Astriyam Deva Mayam. Drishtva Astriyam Deva Mayam. Tadbhavai Rajitendriyaha. Pralobidaha Padatyandhi Tamasyagnau Patangavad. Devamayam Sriyam Drishtva Tadbhavai Ajendriyaha. Pralobidaha Agnau Patangavad Andhe Tamasi Patandhi. In other words, if a man gets attracted similarly, the beautiful form of a woman, or vice versa, woman gets attracted to the form of a man, both causes problem. In other words, he is defeated by his own senses, by the eyes. And that will, therefore, I learned this lesson that I should not get attracted to that form, because that form, what we see with our eyes, is temporary, and it is also takes us away from the goal of spiritual realization. One cannot practice detachment and renunciation from this world unless these senses are come brought under control. And therefore it is spoken like this. Sometimes you may think that, oh, this is all very stringent. It has to be stringent, because in order to get that control on the senses, it is necessary to speak in that way. Yoshidharanyam varanam varadi dravyeshu maya rajiteshu mudhaha pralobhidalpa ubhaboga buddhya patangavanna shadinashta drishti. Even though eyes may bring some happiness by observing certain things in this world, if that develops into ubhabogam means the desire to gratify the senses. So eventually, the very eyes, what brought happiness to the mind by seeing a particular form, will become a cause for degradation. And then it is too late, because I did not control my senses properly, I got victimized by that. That's all. Yoshidhiranyam varanam varadi dravyeshu maya rajiteshu mothaham Pralobhidalpa Upaboga Buddhya Patangavan Ashadi Nashtadrashti. That Maya Rajadeshu, they knowing very well that these are products of Maya. What? This Yoshi, Ambaram, Abharanam, all the kind of things. They are there only to attract. Because the mind is telling they are very nice. So we get attracted by that. And that attraction causes eventually the person to fall from his spiritual consciousness. When one is absorbed in spiritual life, one has to have a complete control on the mind. And while the mind is under control, if you disturb the mind with various sense objects, the mind will not be able to focus on the goal. The goal is to get out of the cycle of birth and death. In order to do that, the first thing to come under control is the mind. Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, everywhere. So for that purpose, this attachment to senses must go, because senses can cheat the mind. Senses can take the mind away. So after that, that is as far as the form is concerned. Now immediately after that, he talks about what he learned from the bee. From the bee. Now there are two kinds of bees discussed in this, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and two different things learned from the bee. Learned from the bee. And both, one that is more in relationship with the smell, the power of gandham. Gandham means smell. How gandham can distract, or the nose can actually cheat us in that way. Stogam stogam grased grasam deho vaktedaya vada grihan ahimsa adishtel vrtim madhugarim munim. Vrtim madhugarim muni. That stogam stogam grased grasam deho vaktedaya vada deho yavada vaktedaha tavada munihi grihan ahimsan stogam stogam grased madhugarim vrtim adishtel. One is accepting food from others, it should be that much sufficient to maintain the body. And he should eat restrictedly, and also he has to follow the system of Madhugari Vritti. We talked about that Madhugari Vritti. Madhugari Vritti means a bee does not take all the honey from a flower. It will go and sit inside and will take a little bit from one flower, and then you'll go on to the next flower. But often what happens is, when the bee sits inside, attracted by the smell of the flower, he forgets that he has to go to the next flower to collect more bee, more honey. By the time evening comes, particularly lotus flowers, the lotus flower will close at night. They open again in the morning, when the sun comes, isn't it? The sunshine opens the lotus flower in the morning, and when the sun sets, the lotus flower closes. So, because of that, when the bee goes and sits there, bee doesn't think about leaving that flower on time. And quite often, because he got attracted by the smell of the flower, he gets victimized by that. He sits in the flower, forget to fly away from there. He sits there in that process, he takes the honey from there, and he gets stuck there because the flower closed it down by evening. Then most of the time in the morning, by the time the flower opens, the bee die. So from this, the Tathagata Maharshi is saying, I learned one important lesson, that I should not allow anything in this world to be attracted by the smell of that. And our modern industry is only this business what they do with us, isn't it? Particularly the industry for perfumes and things like that. It's just they use our senses. And anyone who wants to advance on the spiritual side, he has to be careful about that. Particularly it is such a popular industry. Billions and billions of pounds is invested in that. Just like the other industry also, like Rupam. Basically, all industries are centered around these five senses, isn't it? These five senses. Rupam is that industry which advertises all kinds of things through beautiful men and women in order to attract them. Showing the form, they attract your mind towards that and cheat you in that way. Similarly, those who are addicted to the smell of the perfumes and things like that, they attract you through the big companies, they advertise. And they give you samples. When you walk into the airport, they give you the samples itself so that you can buy that product immediately. All these things may look silly because we think that, oh, this is all a part of the world, isn't it? We live in this world. What are they meant for? Otherwise, how can these companies survive? We will ask that question. So many jobs will go. That's fine. But if you are concerned about spiritual life and getting released from the cycle of birth and death, these are the people you have to watch first. Shabdam, first we talked about Rupam, now the second one is Gandham, the smell. Where you can be cheated by the attraction to that. So what will happen to this bird, to this bee? That is what he's talking about. Stogam stogam grased grasam. Deho varte deyavada grihana himsa adishtel vrtim madhugarim munim. That if he is not careful, this can happen to him. That if you get attached to that smell, and if you stay there, in the evening when the flower closes, you will get stuck inside and die. Therefore, a person who wants to advance in spiritual life, if he also gets attached to his home too much, and what can happen is that he will get stuck there in the home, family life. And therefore he has to be conscious about that, careful about that. Anubhyascha mahalbhyascha shastrebhya kushalo naraha sarvada saramadadhyal pushpebhya iva shalpadaha. Pushpebhyaha shalpadaha iva kushalo naraha anubhyaha mahadbhyascha sarvadaha shastrebhyaha sarameva adadhyad. That just like the bees are taking this honey from the flowers, one should learn how to extract the essence only from the Shastram. One should only extract the essence from the Shastram. Shastram will say a lot of things. In fact, Shastram is such a big subject. If you start studying all the Shastras in this world, you will not get anywhere. Shabdajalam Maharanyam Chitta Brahmana Karanam. It says in one of the literature, Shabdajalam Maharanyam. If you start spending all your energy in studying books, thinking that I have studied this book, that book, and so many books, and at the end, what has happened? Nothing has happened. This is where the mistake is, that if we engage all our energy in studying, that is not the right thing. The way in the past, as I mentioned before, what people did was, they took one or two, because the message is very clear, that self-realization is the goal. In order to realize the self, certain knowledge is necessary. But that knowledge which is not realized is useless. That knowledge which is not realized is useless. So the knowledge is explained in basic literature, spiritual literature, like Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads and all that. They talk about the very purpose of goal or very purpose of life, and they give you through logic, and the Supreme Person, Krishna himself, talks about it in a way that it will get into our heart. It is for us to churn that inside, and from that certain definite conclusions we have to come. We have to come to certain definite conclusions. Because if we don't study Shastram, people will say, oh, what's the point in studying all the books? That you can see after studying the books. There's no point in saying that. So sometimes people say, no, I'm doing this, I'm doing service, I'm doing that, and so many other things. That may be so, but the basic understanding of spiritual life has to come from somewhere. And that is why the great sages have given us this Vedic literature, particularly Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads. All what they have to say, they have put it in that, in a way that we can understand. And they expect us. They did not elaborate it too much. The reason for that is, if they have elaborated too much, we will just read it and reject it. They want us to read that, and they want us to reflect on that. Unless we reflect on that, we will not develop any strength ourselves. In order for ourselves to be strong, the sages wanted it in this way, that they give us some hints how to progress on spiritual path, and explain to us about the nature of the soul, nature of the material world, the laws of karma which are behind it, and the living entities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all how this forms together a proper setup for the person who wants to advance spiritually. That's what Bhagavad Gita is discussing about. So when you read Bhagavad Gita, you will notice that there are so many things which requires more and more clarity. You require more clarity from that. Only after reading and thinking about it, the proper inquiry will begin inside. And then the opportunity comes to discuss with others and clarify those things. Or sometimes by Krishna's mercy, you will receive the answer from within. how that the what Krishna has meant by saying certain things in the Bhagavad Gita. Or if you have progressed further, then you have got Srimad Bhagavatam to tell you in detail about this. So there is no necessity to go and study hundreds and thousands of books. That is a complete waste of time. What is important is to study one or two books, but study in depth. That is more important than going up, because that is what will change. If you go on, some people have this nature, they think that if they have read a lot of books, they'll say, oh, he's well read. He's only well read, but he has not well understood anything. That's no use, isn't it? Well read is one thing, but understanding and getting the message and making that change to happen in one's own life, that is something different. Well read, okay, it is good for, he can write another examination, get a degree or qualification, or he can say, I've read all these books and say this to others, but that is no use. Whatever we have read from the Vedic literature, particularly Bhagavad Gita, that message has to go in, and clearly, clarity is necessary. When you have no clarity, what will happen is, you will read something in Bhagavad Gita. After reading, somebody you will see who says he is following Bhagavad Gita, he will be doing something different. And then you get confusion inside. There is a crisis. Bhagavad Gita says something, he says he is following Bhagavad Gita, but his activities are not matching with what is written in the Bhagavad Gita. And then the confusion begins. That is why it's important. Each and every verse in the Bhagavad Gita should be heard, understood and properly digested. Otherwise it is not going to have any impact on a person. So here it says there that the Shastram Anubhyascha Mahalbhyascha, you can read a little bit, you can read a lot, but Kushalo Nara, you have to become expert in that, in extracting the essence from that. If you're not extracting the essence of all this Vedic literature, is only one thing. What is that? How to get out of the cycle of birth and death. That is the first priority. Okay, you can talk about, I'm not interested in liberation, I'm interested in only in the pure bhakti. Yes, fine. But before pure bhakti, this one step you have to get through. This is the first hurdle in the life. When you are so much absorbed in the body and maintaining the body, where is the question of pure bhakti going to come? Pure bhakti comes at a stage when you are released from this body. Bodily existence is not anymore. And therefore, freeing oneself from this bodily entanglement, bodily attachment, is the first step in that direction. That is why Ekadasha Skandam, when you study, you will see there, the Tathraya Maharshi is talking about things which are important, at the same time they may appear to us, oh, these things are very either not so important to us, or we tend to reject them, saying that I am a devotee so I don't need them. We may take that attitude also. But that is not right, because if it was like that, a pure devotee like Uddhava, who was so close to Krishna, he was sitting and listening to this. Why? There must be a reason, isn't it? Otherwise Uddhava doesn't require all these instructions. Krishna knows that Uddhava also must hear this, and although through Uddhava, he was explaining to us, Krishna is telling us, look, this is how our predecessors have gone. In Vedic literature you won't find, this is my opinion. Opinion has no value. Shastras are saying this, and the great authorities who have followed that, this is what they have done. This is how they have progressed. That's what they will tell us. Krishna will say the same thing, all the acharyas will say the same thing. They have nothing else to add to it. What previously others have done, they will repeat the same thing to us. So here, what we say here now is, that smell is concerned, first we spoke about this bee. Now then there is a next one, is talking about the the honeybee. Why honeybee? What he has to learn? Anubhyascha mahalbhyascha shastrebhya kushalo naraha sarvada saramadadyal bhuttebhi vashalpadaham. Here he says here, anubhyascha mahalbhyascha, that in whatever conditions one has to accept that the intelligent person will only take the essence from the shastram. For example, when you read, this is important, when you read particularly Puranas and all, you will find lot of stories spoken. And then people get a little bit attracted by these stories, and then they start research into that. So if you start research in that direction, you won't get very far. Because the purpose of saying this in the Puranas was not to give you the collecting the information. This story is there in that Puranam, that story is there in this Puranam. Like this, if you keep on remembering these stories, that would not help very much. Because the purpose of all this is, through Puranas, it's like this. What was spoken in the Vedas or in the Upanishads, it was difficult for ordinary people to follow. So therefore, sages, out of their mercy towards us, out of their compassion for us, knowing very well our situation, they simplified it in the form of Puranas for us, so that we somehow will take some interest to understand what is spiritual life. Generally, it is very difficult to attract people to spiritual life, which you know, it is very, very difficult thing. Even after getting attracted to spiritual life, it's very easy to go away from spiritual life and become attached to again back to the material life. So because it is like that, knowing very well, the reason for that is, everyone, when they come to this world, they come with material desires. Nobody is free from that. And because there is a lot of material desires inside, it is that is fulfilling those material desires is always the priority in life. And because it's like that, it is very difficult to understand the importance of self-realization. People will not take to it easily. That's why it is said like that. So, here you will see there that Madhukari Muni, Pushpabhi Avashalpada, that a person who is in spiritual life has to learn how to deal with this world. While collecting money from others, he should only accept the very minimum and not to give any trouble to anybody else. That he should not think that he is, as a householder, he has to take what is absolutely necessary for maintaining his body. And this is where the problem comes. What is that minimum necessary? Where do you draw the line to this? It is not difficult. If one is honest about it, it's not difficult to understand. But generally, it always turns into that the purpose of this principle, because when this Shastram was written, the people are honest enough to think in that direction. But because in Kali Yuga, things are so different, that they find everything needs explanation. They won't understand otherwise. They have such strange questions about it. Because there is not even the very basic understanding of the truthfulness in human life. And therefore all these problems have come. Anyway, what we were talking about was the honeybee. Honeybee, you were saying, Sayandanam shastanam va na sangrahanida bikshidam pani vatro udara matro makshikeva na sangrahi. That's important. That Sayandanam shastanam va, to keep it for the evening or for tomorrow is wrong. We are talking about sannyasis, not about the householders. Sannyasis, he should not keep something for the evening, not for tomorrow. If we discuss this topic, it will be very painful to many people in this world. Because in this modern world, sannyasam has gone to that state of affairs now. That instead of being example of what Krishna has spoken about sannyasam, today what do you find? You find sannyasa ashram has degraded in that way, that so many sannyasis in this world, but there is no impact in spiritual life on anyone. Why? Because they are not following Krishna's instructions. They are unable to do that. They may have their own reasoning and logic behind it, but the fact remains, sayandanam shvastanam va na sagrahanida bikshidam pani vatro udara matro makshikeva na sangrahi. He should keep, and he has got two pots. One is the hand to collect the food and other pot to store the food, the belly. Panivatram udara matro makshikev na sangrahi. Krishna says, under no circumstances he should store the food for tomorrow. He should store the food for tomorrow. If he is doing that, he is not a sannyasi, he has no realizations, in other words. A person who is running after comfortable lifestyle in material life, and wants to enjoy the material world, vasanas have not gone away. He has come to sannyasam. What good is it going to help? How is it going to help? Sannyasa ashram, according to Krishna,
Is that ashram where you are completely in a realized state, able to give others that realizations what you have. But if this is a realization, what benefit is there? That's what Krishna is saying. Sayandhanam, again he repeats, Sayandhanam shvastanam va na sangrihni idabhikshuga bhakshika iva samgrihnan sahatena vinashyadi. Another important point. Krishna is saying there, if a sannyasi not caring for these things, thinking that he will accumulate wealth and make a good living out of it, one day what will happen is makshika iva sangrahnan sahagena vinashyari. Just like in the honey bee's case, how it gets, one day the hunter comes with the fire chute in the hand and set fires to the whole thing, and the result will be that not only the whole honey is lost, you can even lose your life. Sometimes sannyasis have to be careful about this. If they go on after wealth, one day what will happen is, you will never know how material nature works, how Maya works. This very thing, money, what they were after in their sannyasa ashram, can cause death. In some form it can happen. Or it can all be taken away from them. We have enough proof of that in our own ISKCON. These things have happened. In so many times this has happened to many, many stalwart sannyasis, who thought that even if tomorrow I leave ISKCON, I'll have enough money for myself. With that thought, they worked. And the result was that in that process, they lost their spiritual life and they lost their material life as well. We never know how Krishna's hands work in this world. It is better to follow Shastram rather than trying to test Shastram. Shastram will never go wrong. That's why it's saying here, Sayandhanam shvastanam va na sangrihnida vikshugaha makshika iva sangrihnan sahadena vinashyani. Everything will go in one lot, Krishna says. Before, in his very, in front of his own very eyes, everything will be taken away. Everything will be taken away from him. And then what happens? He has lost his spiritual life because he didn't use it for spiritual life. On the other hand, he has created this false impression among the public also. That's what it is said there. So this thing he has learned from the honeybee, and what he learned from the bee we have spoken before. Now we go into the next one. What is sparsham? Sparsham means the touch, the sense of touch. How that can cause degradation, how one can fall from his spiritual position. Padavi yuvadim bhikshu na sprishel dharavima vi sprishan kariva badhyeda karinya manga sangadaha. Bhikshu dharavim abhi yuvadim padavi na sprishel. How careful one has to be in sannyasa ashram, that even if it is made of wood, a form of woman has been made of wood, he should not touch that, because it can cause, it can move the mind. So sensitive the mind is. We think that we have control over the mind. Mind is controlled to be like a monkey, isn't it? Any moment it can take you away from your peacefulness inside. A peaceful mind can be immediately disturbed. Sprishan karinyaha anga sangadaha kariva bhadyada. Then just like when the she elephant is used to catch the male elephant, like as I mentioned before, when they catch the male elephants, the elephants are very powerful. They are wandering in the wild elephants in the forest, very difficult to control. So what do they normally do? They dig huge pits. And on side of the pits, they keep one she elephant who is already tamed, who can be instructed. She will stand there. So when the wild elephants come that way, they will see the she elephant, because he has lost his senses of being victimized by the sense of touch, sparsham. He will run, looking at his she elephant, he will run. In that process, this pit or the trench, what they have made, a huge trench, he will slip and fall into that. He won't know that there is a trench there, which is covered with wood and leaves everything, so that as soon as he puts his feet on that, he immediately falls into the pit, into the trench. Even now they catch the elephants like that. So that's the process of catching the elephants. So when the elephant is caught like that, for many days they won't feed the elephant, because this male elephant was very wild, wandering around in the forest. He has to be brought under control. So what they do is they will leave this elephant inside the trench for many days without feeding him, so that he becomes very weak. When he is weak, they put the chain on him, then they lift him up, bring him up, and then train him for many days. After that, he continues his slavery. So, what is important here is, just like the fly, the moth became victimized by the eyes, or just like the bee got victimized by the smell of the honey, the elephant got victimized by the sense of touch and he fell. The Tathagata Maharshi says, I learned this important lesson. I should be conscious not to get into a situation like that. I should always keep away from the sense objects. That is important thing. So, here he says, Nadigachel Sriyam Pratyaha Karhijal Murtyuma Altmanaha Baladigai Sahanyeda Gajai Anir Gajoyathaham. That even a person who has got good discrimination, under no circumstances he should approach the opposite sex. Under no circumstances he should approach the opposite sex, because at some point in time he can fall from his spiritual position. He is also saying here another important point which was to be spoken before. Nadeyam nobhogyam va lubdheryal dukkha sanjidam bungte tadapi tachanyo madhuhevartavin madhum. He says, while talking about this honeybee, he also learned another important lesson which he forgot to put in before. Therefore he says after that, what was that? That if I follow like this honeybees, try to collect everything and keep it in stock, one day what can happen is that it can be taken away from me. It can be taken away from me. So therefore, no collecting, accumulating wealth, he says. That accumulating wealth, that is the important thing what he has mentioned there. This honeybee's case is important. It does not go away from the human mind very easily. It always wants to make sure has his assets are all properly managed, or the money in the passbook is okay, or the interest is added on properly. Only when the credit crunch comes, he gets a bit disturbed. That the money, he is thinking, I've been working all my life to accumulate so much wealth, and one day government is saying, now let me take all this and give it to people. Let them all go and enjoy so that the economy can go on. So this kind of things can happen. Therefore, the attachment to the wealth also has to be properly. What one needs for one's living, one needs it. But when we go for accumulating the wealth, this is the one important point what he has to say. As I mentioned, even sometimes so-called spiritually advanced people, they chant the holy name, they are doing japam, everything, but inside the mind, making money is going on inside. How to make money, more money. It's a crazy. Once it happens like that, it's very difficult to withdraw from that. And after the morning japam or the chanting the holy name, deity worship, everything, he's got his beads bag also in his hand. Then he goes and sits and watches how the shares are floating in the market. How the market, the shares are going up. So sometimes then in that process he gets a heart attack when the whole shares drops. And he forgets to chant the holy name when this heart attack happens. Because his whole mind is focused in the shares. What can you do? So this is what is happening all the time. So even in spiritual life, these things can come. These things can happen. That sometimes he accumulates so much wealth to give it to the children. And what happens? The old man is lying in the bed, ready to leave the body. The children are fighting each other for the wealth. And then it ends up in the court. You can see this all the time in the newspapers. All these reports come. And especially among the wealthy, very wealthy people, that they have, up to that time when the father was there, the children somehow kept quiet. The moment father left, this billions of pounds to be shared. At that time, brotherhood, sisterhood, relations, everything goes. Just goes in 1 minute. Everything is finished. And then it's only that money which they have, father has struggled so hard to accumulate. He has worked all his life, and in the end what happens? What he is seeing is that the very wealth what he has struggled hard and accumulated has made the family to fight each other and take it to the court and pay money to the lawyers. Is it not? Is it not what you read in the paper quite often? What happens? So you can see there, the basic principles of spiritual life, they don't change. They are always the same. And those principles you can't alter. Shastra is saying this because the sages knew what is good for us, and therefore they have told, put it very bluntly in the Shastram, that you follow this, you will be happy in life. You reject this and make your own mind and start going in your own way, you will become unhappy in life. This is what the message is. That in order to advance spiritually, these things are basic requirements. So therefore you will see in the case of honeybee, he has learned this important lesson also. That, that so we'll see there. Important thing, next one is Nayam Nodabogyamva Lubdharyad Dukkha Sanjidam Bungte Tadabita Chanyo Madhuhe Vartavin Madhu. That I learned from them that this Madhu, Madhu means the honey, is only going to bring distress to me in life. So rather than doing that, I will act in such a way, the Tatraya Maharshi says that I should not be working so hard in life. This realization came to him. He says, Sudsudukho Varjadevitai Ashasanam Griha Shishaha Madhuhe Vagrado Bhunte Yadirvai Grahame Dhinam. That householders we are talking about now, because householder, they make money, and if a sannyasi also goes in the same route, what will happen? Sudukho Varjadevitai Ashasanam Griha Shishaha Madhuhe Vagrado Bhunte Yadivai Grahame Dhinam. He will not be very much different from the yati or a sannyasi, will not be much different than a householder if he is engages in the same thing. After this, now we have now got two more things to talk about, which is the Shabdam and Rasam. Shabdam means the sound and Rasam means the taste. We have seen Rupam, form, Sparsham, touch, Gandham, smell. So three things through three different living entities, through the elephant, through the honeybee, and through the moth or the fly, how those three senses have defeated them and they got victimized by that. They had only one sense to lose. We have five of them with us. So imagine what can happen to us, how vulnerable we are for falling down from spiritual life. In order to establish ourselves in spiritual life, you have to watch out all the five senses, that they don't cheat you. Any moment, they can cheat you. And because they have given five different examples, is for this reason only, that only one of their senses have cheated them and they got victimized. Imagine what will happen to you when all your five senses cheats you in some way or the other. And modern life is nothing but engaging all the five senses in sense enjoyment. So imagine their situation. What's going to happen to them? So that's why in the next one, the personality shown or the example given is the deer. The deer. The deer has got a weakness. What is a weakness? Music. Sound. That is very attracted to music. How they catch the deer in the forest is the hunters go there and they play some musical instrument, flute or anything like that. Because they've got various instruments in the forest also. When they play this instrument, the deer immediately come to get attracted by that. Immediately get attracted by that. When it gets attracted, it forgets that there is danger around. Normally they are very sensible. They are always looking for the danger. Any moment a tiger or the lion, anyone can pounce on it and kill them. But when it gets attracted by the music, the hunter knows the weakness that it will not, otherwise deers run very, very fast, as you know. But here you will notice that the deers, as soon as they are victimized by sense of hearing, by the sense of hearing, they get attracted and the hunters throw the net around them and catch them. Catch the deer. So that's what is mentioned here. How, if a deer can fall into it, how far we can fall into it. think about the music industry in this world. The whole music industry is nothing but victimizing us to our senses of hearing. Ears which are meant for hearing about Krishna and Krishna consciousness, if it gets absorbed in the laugigam in material sense, material subjects, how quickly we can fall from our spiritual position. One has to guard against all the five senses. All the five senses can defeat him or put him into trouble any moment. So through these five examples, it is spoken here that gramyagidam na shrunuyat yadir vanajarakvachil shikshedha hayanal bhadda mrgayor gana mohidal. Then vanagocharo yadihi gramyagidam na shrunuyat. Vanaprastha or sannyasi, he should not hear any song which is not related to the Supreme Personality, Krishna. They are called gramyagidam. Gramyagidam means things which are not related to Krishna. Mrgayoho gana mohidal bhadhal harinad edat shikshedha. That by hearing about the song sung by the hunter, the deer got bound by that and he got into trouble. Therefore it is said gramyagidam na shrunuyat. Gramyagidam na shrunuyat. This is the most important thing. You should not hear anything which is not related to Krishna. Which is not related to Krishna. If you hear that, you will one day get affected by that and you will fall from your spiritual life. From your spiritual life. Falling from spiritual life means not the gross falling down. Falling from spiritual life means you have a goal in your mind that you want to realize the self now in this very life. That's what you are endeavoring for. In that process, anything that comes as a distraction is a falling down. Is a falling down from that. That you want to be situated in your spiritual identity, free from this bodily contamination or bodily influence. So therefore it is said like this, that gramyagidam na shrunuyat. If you hear gramyagidam, this is what will happen. I'll just give you one or two examples, how important it is. That I mentioned about Tyagaraja's story before. In Tyagaraja's case, when he was about 9 years old, he was already a very established singer, highly devotional and a highly accomplished singer at the age of 9. So, it so happened that the king who ruled that country at that time invited him to the palace to sing in front of so many other great musicians. He wanted him to sing. So, when he is being a child of 9 years old, he didn't know what was actually going on. His teacher, Venkata Ramana Bhagavata, as he was called, one day the king sent a horse carriage for them to come to the palace. So both the teacher and the student sat in the horse carriage and went to the palace. And in the palace, the king requested Tyagaraj to sing some devotional songs. Tyagaraj sang on that particular day in such a way, those who know the devotional music, they know about the intricacies of that. Hindustani music and Carnatic music both have that. There are certain ragas in there. If it is sung perfectly, you can prove certain things to others about your accurateness, accuracy, how you have sung. So there is one ragam called Todi. Tyagaraj sang Todi ragam so nicely that day, that it was so perfect that just by singing in that particular raga, a lamp which was there, where there was ghee, there was a wick, it automatically got lit. Without any matchbox, nothing, just because of the perfection of Todi ragam, the way it was sung, the lamp got lit. It was so perfect, his singing, that because it is highly technical, and the devotion in Tyagaraj was such, that nothing could go wrong, and he was only a 9-year-old boy. When this happened, all the other great musicians who were there, there are so many other ragas also, similarly, certain ragas, if you have sung properly, it can bring rain down. Such powerful musicians were there at one time, that such great personalities. So, anyway, Tyagaraj sang this and this happened. As soon as this happened, the king, Sharabhoji king, he took an expensive chain and a necklace from his own neck and put it on Tyagaraja that day, and glorified Tyagaraja with that. And everyone, he was only a little boy, 9-year-old boy, what does he understand? Anyway, everyone was glorifying him, congratulating him and all that. After that, they were going back in the same horse carriage, they were sending him back to the village. While going back to the village, the teacher was immensely happy, because for him, his greatest achievement in life, he himself could not achieve this status, what his student has achieved. So he was telling the child that, Tyagaraj, what you have achieved today has given me extreme happiness. I'm so feeling so blissful because of your success in the musical field. Saying this, tears were coming from his eyes after talking about this. When Tyagaraj heard that, Tyagaraj started crying. So at that time his teacher thought, Tyagaraj is crying because he is feeling happiness that he has won this. But at that time, Tyagaraj's mind completely gone away from that. Tyagaraj was thinking like this. There is a song which is related to that, written in Telugu. He says there that, what is the happiness in this? Is it something worthwhile? I have to go and glorify Lord Ramachandra in front of these people for my own vanity? In order to uplift myself in front of so many people, is this not going to build up false ego in me? This is how he thought about this. Is not going to build up false ego in me? Oh, everybody is telling how great you are. What will happen? All that will happen is that you will also start thinking you are very great. That's the immediate response to that. Number one. Number two, he said, is it worthwhile wearing all these things what the king has given to me? Or is it much nicer to sit in front of Lord Ramachandra and talking about him, singing about him? Why should I go to these kings and glorify and sing there to please them and to get this recognition from them? This is how Tyagaraja's mind went at that time. So you can see, proper devotees, for them music is for pleasing Krishna, not for anything else except to please Krishna. At one time, music was only meant for pleasing the Supreme Lord, nothing else. And they had perfection in that music at that time. They were perfected in that. All these different ragas, talam, layam, there's so many different technicalities of it. We won't talk about that now. But important thing is, the perfection in music is in pleasing Krishna, nothing else. That is the perfection of music. But over a period of time, it all got degraded. Bollywood started realizing there is money to be made in the music. So what did they do? They started taking these different music and started writing poetry, the poems and the music. And it is the same thing, all other music, all film music is a modern thing. It has come from the traditional Hindustani Carnatic music, all the different ragas they have taken out and they started writing. What did they do? And then, not only that, when they start making devotional movies, so-called devotional movies, they also, the songwriters, they started writing devotional songs. What is a devotional song? Devotional song, there is no devotion inside. What it is they'll take the dictionary, and pick up a lot of words, and they'll put it together. A carpentry of words, they call it. Carpentry of words. By doing that, and people are there more interested in listening to these devotional songs written by them. Therefore, it's always said that if you have to glorify Krishna, you have to follow those songs written by the great devotees. Otherwise, it will have no impact on Krishna. Krishna appreciates those written by great devotees. Those songs have to be sung. Now, there's something else to it. When we sing these songs, for example, in Kirtanam, we sing the songs of Krishna, isn't it? Often Kirtanam turns out to be a musical concert. And we think that we are doing a great job, but actually it is not. I'll tell you why. When we sing songs, if the bhavam is not there, Krishna says, bhavagrahi janardhanam. Therefore, often what will happen is, we start enjoying the senses and the mind through the music. We start enjoying the senses and the mind through the music. And when we start doing that, what will happen is the music which was meant directly for the soul, it's not reaching there. It gets already absorbed in the senses and the mind. Just like to give you an example, tax is collected from the public for the benefit of the public, isn't it? For the benefit of the public, tax is collected. And that money is to be utilized for the development of the people who have paid the taxes. That's why people pay the taxes. But instead, if that money is used all for running the establishment, the government, and a lot of money is swindled away by the contractors and all others, and hardly 10p goes to the out of a pound, if only 10p goes to the taxpayer, what is the use? It is exactly the same thing here. If the music that goes, you sing the music about Krishna, if all that is absorbed by the senses and the mind, the soul inside is not getting anything. The soul inside is not receiving it, what it is meant to receive. It's not getting that share. That's Krishna. Krishna has to receive that. But instead, what do? We make this music as a... Music is never, no doubt about it. Kirtanam is a process. But in Kirtanam, this has to be born in mind. That Krishna is saying there, that unless this is understood, like the deer, if we also get attracted by the sound, and be attracted by the music, instead of glorifying Krishna, if we simply get absorbed in the music, then that is also not the proper way. And therefore an example is given here of the history of a great sage called Hrishyasringa. Hrishyasringa was the son of Mriga, another sage. So Mriga, at an early days, he realized that in order to develop Hrishyasringa, he wanted to make sure that Hrishyasringa doesn't get attracted by any of the senses or sense objects. So what he did was, he brought him up in the forest, not allowing him to associate with any other people, any other persons, young men, young girls. He kept him away from young girls. Only if you live in the country, there's a possibility of associating with the girls. So Hrishyasringa was brought up in the forest by his father, Mriga. And Mriga always brought him up as a first-class brahmachari. Never spoke to him about women, about the girls. Nothing was spoken to him. So naturally he hasn't seen anybody. And naturally he was not attracted by any such thing. Hrishyasringa grew up as a first-class brahmachari. Once it so happened, in the kingdom of the Ramapada, that was the king, who I think he comes much before Dasharatha's time, in the Solar dynasty, there was no rain in the kingdom. So when he discussed with some of the sages told him that you need to bring here a first-class brahmachari, and if he performs a sacrifice, immediately there will be rain in the country. So they inquired and they found out that the right person for that is this Hrishyasringa. So what did Ramapada do? Ramapada sent a group of young girls with all of them singing and dancing and with first-class prasadam in their hand. So these girls came at a particular time when Mriga was not there. Mriga was gone away somewhere for some time, because they knew that in Mriga's presence, if they had come, the sage will curse them and make them turn into ashes. That was known to them. So they had to be very careful. But for the benefit of the Ramapada's kingdom, they came to the hermitage or to the ashram in the forest, and in the absence of King Mriga, these girls came there and started singing and dancing there. When Hrishyasringa saw them first time, he couldn't believe it. He was asking them, "Oh, brahmacharis, where have you come from?" He was addressing them like that. He didn't even know that there was another group of brahmacharinis existed. He didn't know that. So he was addressing them like this, "Oh, brahmacharis, where have you come from?" And when they started singing and dancing, Hrishyasringa could not resist. He also joined them. Immediately, he joined them. The young brahmacharinis handed over a lot of nice prasadam, invited him to come with them, and he goes along with them. Before Mriga arrived, he was back in Ramapada's palace. And with Hrishyasringa, he performed the sacrifice, and the rain came to the kingdom at that time. That's all there. Later on, Rishishanga got married. That's another story. But important thing, why it is spoken here is that this thing called music is such a thing. Music has got that power to attract everybody, isn't it? Everyone has got attraction to some music, at least to pop music. So you can see sometimes you sit in the tube, you watch. Both sides, two wires connected up, holding this. Going on inside. And when you see that, how they are relishing their music, you also like it. When they are relishing something, they're not talking to anybody. They're just shaking their heads like this. Just see how the power of music is. This is the beauty of music. So Bhagavatam is saying to us, Mrtyavaditra Gitani Jushan Gramyani Yoshidam Asam Kridanago Vashya Krishashango Mrigi Sudaham. That Yoshidam Gramyani Nityavaditra Gidani Jushan Mrigi Sudaha Krishashangaha Asam Kridanaha Vashyaha. When you get attracted by the Yoshidam Gramyani, most of the songs are written centered around what? This thing called love, isn't it? So it's all love songs, isn't it? The top 40, they call it, whatever they call it. And as soon as you hear that, the love starts coming up inside. And if you completely agitate your mind, this material mind with this material thoughts, what will happen? One day you will get victimized by that. Today you will see, oh, such a nice song, such a nice music. Can I use it for chanting Hare Krishna? You may say like that. So they bring these tunes to the temple also to sing the holy name, to chant the holy name. So whatever it is, you are also seeing all these things in the tube and the buses and everywhere. What, I am not saying anything new. Important thing to realize is that is not a good thing. One who wants to advance spiritually, these are all problems in spiritual life. Because if you get victimized by the sound, vibration, these songs, particularly these songs, all what it does is, it agitates your mind on material thoughts, lust, greed, and so many things like that associated, kamam, material desires. These desires are whipped up. So if you allow your mind to fall into this, these vasanas will build up inside, and the result will be that you will not be able to escape from that. At some point, you will have to surrender. You will not be able, you will lose your control on the mind, and you will get attracted to something. So therefore, whether it is pop music or rap music or whatever music, whatever modern world has to offer, so long they are not going to help anyone in Krishna. For one who wants to advance towards in self-realization, he has to stay away from all these things. This is the message. Those who want to enjoy material life, that's another thing. But those who want to advance on the spiritual path, he has to take care of these things. Smrtyavaditra Gidani Jushan Gramyani Yoshidam Asam Krida Nago Vashya Krishashango Mrigi Sudaham. Then, now after the sound, what is spoken here is that Krishashanga's story is important because it is through that what has happened in the mind, how the material thoughts can develop. And Chittavatti means, what is mind? Mind is nothing but a flow of continuous thoughts, isn't it? So if these thoughts is what you pump inside, and if you pump these kind of thoughts inside, those thoughts will develop in that pattern. That pattern, it will build up inside. And they will remain as strong vasanas inside. Vasana means, you know what it means? It means propensities. And these vasanas that has gone in will come out at the appropriate time. When you at some weak point, because you're not spiritually that strong that you can discriminate every moment, mind will completely throw you out from this world. And after getting victimized, it's too late to come back from that. Because this kind of songs eventually leads into wrong association with people, wrong on a false level. And that association can lead into more degradation. That's what it means. So spiritually it is not conducive. Then next one is the last one. We have now seen Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Gandham. Sound, touch, form and smell. Now the last one is the rasam. Rasam means taste. Taste. He is the king of all the senses. This one. The difficulty with this person is, this thing called rasam or the taste is, he has got a dual function. He has got a dual function. Therefore, he is considered to be the king of all the senses. Out of the five, he is the leader. He is the leader. One thing what he does is, he wants to always eat nice food. Isn't it? He wants to taste good food. So that is one of his weakness. What is the other one? He always wants to vibrate. Always wants to talk. Talk what? Talk nonsense. That's all he talks. Nothing else. So what will happen is, the controlling the tongue is much more difficult than all the other senses. All the other senses. Because of this dual function. And not only that, talking and eating are connected each other. Talking and eating are connected each other. And eating has an influence on the mind as well. Depending on the type of food you eat and the quantity of food you eat, it will have a direct impact on the mind. Mind is affected by that. Therefore it said here, Indriyana jayandhyashu nirahara manishinaha vajayitvadu rasanam tannirannasya vardhade. This is the important thing. Indriyana jayandhyashu nirahara manishina. Manishinaha nirahara rasanam vajayitva indriyani ashu jayandhi nirannasya tal vardhade. Intelligent person who can discriminate properly, he should give up the food and he first try to win this first sense, eating sense. He tries to win over the this sense as the most important thing. He knows what the greatest weakness is. Other senses he can win over quickly with the carefulness. With being careful, he can win over the eyes, the nose, the ears and the sense of touch and all that. But when it comes to this tongue, it's much more difficult. Because it says here, tannirannasya vardhade. If you don't eat, decided to control your tongue and not eat, immediately the desire increases inside. Isn't it? You might have observed, today's Ekadashi, so it's easy to convey this matter. But, strictly speaking, if we follow Ekadashi properly, it's good. But often Ekadashi, we call it as Ekadashi feast. So, we have developed a new terminology in spiritual life called Ekadashi feast. So, we have to have a feast all the time, whether it is non-Ekadashi or Ekadashi. So that is how much we are in control of the senses. But here, he says here, Nirayannasya Vardhade. The more you try to control the senses or the eating, what will happen is the desire will increase. That is the difficulty. Nirayannasya vardhade. So therefore, varjayitvadu rasanam. One has to eat what is necessary. After all, basically the essential food, what basically required for maintaining the body is not a lot. A simple diet is sufficient. A simple diet is very sufficient. But because this desire for eating is so strong, so therefore we develop all these feasts all the time. And we think that feast is a good excuse to satisfy the tongue. But strictly speaking, advanced devotees, they have spoken about it and they have taught us that if you have not got control on the tongue, then even if it is prasadam, although you may be eating prasadam, but still you have not got control on your senses, that means your mind can move any time. Sometimes it can cause problems. Tavat jidendriyo nasyal jida ajidanyendriya puman na jayet rasanam yaval jidam sarvam jiderase. Yavat rasanam na jayet. So long as you have not got control over the tongue, tavat vijida anindriyevi puman jidendriyo nasyal. Even if you have got control on all other senses, you have not become jidendriya. You have not got yourself
control on your own senses. Rase jidedu sarvam jidam cha bhavati. On the other hand, if you have got control on this tongue, then you have got control on all others as well. Because this thing called the tongue, if it is controlled, it will have a good control on all other senses. Na jayed rasanam yavad jidam sarvam jide rase. This is the final verdict on that. That so long as you have not got control on the tongue, you have not got control on any senses. On the other hand, if you have got control on the tongue completely, then you have got control on all other senses as well. That shows the importance of controlling the tongue. Controlling the tongue. That's why Krishna is saying here that this important thing, that the hunger or kshutta, as it is called, is a disease. And the medicine for that disease is food. That is how it has to be seen. A sannyasi or a yeti or one who wants to advance on the spiritual plane, he has to think like that. Whereas if we eat all the time right up to the nose and fill the belly like that, then it will cause problems in spiritual life. It will cause problems in spiritual life. Because it causes its own problems along with that. Once it so happened that a lady who wanted to please a sannyasi, who was very well respected by the devotees, she thought that this sannyasi doesn't get much nice food. She, in her own mind, she thought like that. Sannyasi is not getting much nice food. Every day he is eating very frugally, very limited food, very small quantity, and he doesn't get anything very tasty. Sometimes a bowl of rice, some yogurt, or some vegetable, one or two things like that. And he was living on that for days together. So one lady devotee who was coming to see him very often, she thought that how come I can't help him now, something I could do for him. So at least let me cook some nice prasadam and bring it for him and feed him. At least let him eat one day nicely. She thought like this. So she prepared a number of dishes and brought everything in separate pots, brought a leaf as well. And her intention was to give a nice feast to the sannyasi. So our sannyasi sensed the situation. He didn't want to discourage her because she has taken so much effort to cook this food. And if he has flatly or outrightly rejected everything, she would have got very hurt. So he didn't want to hurt her. So what did he do? He sat there, she put the leaf in front of him, and all these 20-30 dishes, whatever she has prepared, she all served all the food separately, very nicely served everything. After everything was served, she told the sannyasi, now you can eat. There were so many other people also sitting there. She didn't think about them so much. She said, they are all householders, they can go home and eat. This poor sannyasi is not getting anything. Let me feed him. That was her logic. When she has served everything, what did the sannyasi do? He mixed the whole food together. All of them. The vegetables, the sweet rice, the rice, dal, chapati, everything he mixed together. And he took a little bit and started eating from that. So the lady says to him, Swamiji, I brought this for you so that you can taste all these things. You can taste all these things. Why did you mix all that? Swamiji told her, if I start eating like the way you have brought this food in front of me, what will all these people think about me? This is what first thing stuck into his mind. He is trying to live as an example in front of others. And if this is the example, what I have to show it to them, that if my eating habits are, if you bring one feast today, somebody else might bring, okay, she has brought a nice feast, let me bring another feast for. In other words, 7 days a week, I will have a feast. I will have a feast. So, what will people will say? He is having a good time as a sannyasi. This is what people will say. People will definitely talk about it. There is no question about that.
When you take the Mahaprasadam to your Guru Maharaj, lot of people are watching. Don't think everyone is blind in this world. If the so-called Guru Maharaj is having a feast every day, that naturally it will have its effect. But proper thing in this situation is that you should think what others think about you. It is important. Because here is where the Krishna consciousness comes in. That in order to maintain this body, you don't need these things. This is detachment. This is renunciation. It has nothing to do with the devotion. It is a question of living a life of scriptures, accepting authority of Krishna and Krishna's instructions. There is no question of sense gratification. After, if you are still on the bodily platform of satisfying the tongue, where is the question of instructing someone else about spiritual life? That's not possible. So therefore, in order to teach the public or the others who are sitting there, this sannyasi had to tell this lady devotee, that he is not expecting this from anyone. For him, he is acting on a much higher platform. Food is not his topmost priority. Food is not the priority. You need some food to sustain this body. The more you eat a lot of nice and tasty food, what will develop? It will agitate the mind, because mind is directly coming from the food. And some of this rich food, cooked in a lot of ghee and other things, it will generate a lot of semen and blood in the body, and it will agitate the body. One who wants to advance on the spiritual path, na jayedrasanam yaval jidam sarvam jiderase. One who wants to advance on the spiritual path, Krishna is saying to the Tatraya Maharshi, first thing, he has to control on the tongue. For us, we make prasadam as the biggest problem in this world. Prasadam is not a big problem if we understand the principles behind it. When we don't understand, all our life we'll have to spend cooking prasadam. There will be no time for anything to understand Bhagavatam. We'll be so busy, absorbed in studying, in making the different. And our situation is such now that if you go into some of these websites of the devotees, you'll find the recipes after recipes after recipes. As though this is the only problem they have in life, eating tasty food. And also how to develop, they think they are making a lot of advancement in spiritual life by developing new recipes and developing new tasty preparations. But in that process, all what's happening is that they have no time to think about the soul or the souls or the realization of the self. There is no time for it because they are so absorbed in their eating and in the developing the taste. Not only that, if we continue in that line for a long time, what will happen is, if you don't get a feast, you won't be able to eat any food. That situation will happen. A little bit of khichdi is sufficient, many instances, to satisfy. But when you are not satisfied with the tongue, then we are always have to look for more gratification. This is the result of that. So therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says here that that taval jitendriyo nasyal vijidanyendriya ajidanyendriya puman na jaye rasanam yaval jidam sarvam jire rasem. Then after this, Krishna says here, that is the next important. So what we have seen now, five tanmatras, panchatanmatras, shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. The through five different living entities, how they all got victimized by their weakness for that particular sense, and how they lost their life or they got into trouble. Similarly, for us also, who have got all these five senses, how dangerous it is for us if you do not keep an eye on these five spiritual masters. So, Dattatreya Maharshi is saying there, I have learned this important lesson from these five different. So, five material elements we saw, earth, water, air, ether and fire. Sun and the moon we have seen. So, 5 plus 2, 7. Then we have seen the bird, Kapoda birds. From them what we have to learn? 8. And now we have seen the five Pancha Tanmatras. I don't know what's the English word for that. That Tanmatra means this Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. The senses, the five senses as the spiritual master. All this has been observed by the Dattatreya Maharshi and he is moving on now. Now after this, now we have got 5 plus 2, 7 plus 1, 8 plus 5, 13. Spiritual masters so far we have discussed. Now we have got 11 more to discuss. And out of these 11, 5 of them are human beings in this world.
5 of them are human beings. If you remember, Prithvi, Vayu, Akasham, Apam, Agni, 5 material elements. Chandraman, Ravi, the sun and the moon. Then Kapodam, Ajagaram. Kapodam is the birds, isn't it? Ajagaram you forgot. Ajagaram is the python. Ajagaram is the python. Sindhu, the ocean, we talked about that. Ajagara Sindhu, Padangam, Madhugad, Gaja. Padangam is the fly. Madhugad takes the honey. And Gaja, elephant, we have seen. Then, Madhuha, Harino, Meena, Pingala, Kurara, Ardhaga. Out of that, we are now going to see five different entities. From whom, what Dattatreya Maharshi has learned. Out of that, the next one is a very important one. It is a story of a prostitute called Pingala. Pingala lived in Mithila, in Bihar, in the city of Mithila, where Sita Devi's family lived. Janaka Maharaj, Sita Devi, they lived in Mithila. And this lady, Pingala, was a prostitute, lived in Mithila. It is her story what is being spoken about. I learned something very important from Pingala, he says. What is that? We are still now spoken about what is known as Mamada Nirasam. Mamada Nirasam means attachment through the senses, isn't it? Our attachment through the senses. Now, through Pingala, this is another important thing, what is known as Asha Nirasam. Mamada Nirasam is over. Asha Nirasam means Pingala had very strong material desires inside. Very strong material desires. She was unable to give it up. Therefore, she herself got degraded in this situation like this. She had to take into this profession to make money. To make money and to fulfill the desires. This is the history of Pingala. And in that process, this Dattatreya Maharshi observed Pingala very closely. One day, Dattatreya Maharshi arrived in Mithila. While walking through Mithila, it was very late in the evening. And Dattatreya Maharshi could not find a place to sleep. It was so late in the evening and there was no place to sleep. It was at that time, he saw there was a very big palace. And the palace lights were all on. And there was life in the palace. And so outside the palace, there was a bench where nobody was sleeping. And the place was empty, so Dattatreya Maharshi goes and takes shelter there. He thought, at least let me sleep there tonight. Tomorrow morning, when the sun rises, I will leave this place. This was in his mind. So this is at the gate of Pingala's house, where he was sleeping. There was a bench or something lying there. So our Pingala was there at the house. After a while, Pingala came out and saw this Dattatreya Maharshi was lying there, an old sannyasi lying there. And Pingala did not expect this, a person like him to come and lie there. So she asked him, how long are you planning to stay here? Dattatreya Maharshi told her that I'm only taking shelter here for tonight because it is too late. If I sleep on the road, sometimes it is possible that in the night sometimes bullockarts will come carrying the load from the villages to the town to sell them. They all travel in the night, isn't it, bringing the goods. And I could get killed during that process. So therefore I found this place to lie down. If you have no objection, I would not mind. I would like to sleep here tonight. Pingala agreed. Pingala claimed the place for him and allowed him to sleep there. This was the turning point in her life. We'll see that. Pingala nama veshyasil videha nagare puraha tasyame shikshitam kinchil nibhodam rupasattamaham. Then, in a place called Videha, Videha means, why this name Videha? All those who are born in Mithila, especially the royal family of Mithila, they were all liberated souls. Because of what? Sita Devi's appearance in Mithila. they were in Sri Shugan Sudeva Goswami says that if you look into the ninth canto, you will find there at the very end, all of them were householders, but all of them were self-realized. Imagine that situation. All those royal family members in the Janaka Maharaj's family, they were all householders and they were all self-realized. Not only that, Sukadeva Goswami himself goes to Mithila to discuss with King Janaka about the nature of the Absolute Truth. So imagine how much, and he was sent there by Vedavyas. Vedavyas, when Sukadeva Goswami was under training in education, Vedavyas sent Sukadeva Goswami all the way to Mithila to get instructed on the science of the Absolute Truth, on spiritual life, in other words. So this is the heritage of that royal family, of the royal family of the Janaka Maharaj and Sita Devi. So it is there that this incident is happening. And because they were all free from the bodily identity, therefore that kingdom was called Videha. Videha means free from the body, not connected with the body. So free they were from the bodily concept of life. Imagine that. Kings in that situation. They were so free from the bodily concept of life. Unless one is in the bodily concept of life, one cannot understand what spiritual life is all about. And in order to guide the people also in the same, there is a lot of stories connected with King Janaka in Ramayanam and other places. You will see there how they functioned, how they ran the administration, how the kingdom was flourishing with the, no doubt, no wonder how Sita Devi appeared in that family. No wonder how Sita Devi has appeared in that family. So therefore it is called Videha. So Pingala was there, was born there. Hey Nrupasattama, tasyame kinjil chichidam tad. What I have learned from her, listen to me, he says. Sa soirinye kadakantam sangedam upadeshyati abhut kale behirdwari vibhradi rupamuttamam. Once it so happened, because this Pingala had strong material desires, she wanted to make money all the time. That was in her mind. Because with money she knew she could buy what she wants and keep her high standard of life, whatever she wanted to do. So, and the easiest method she found was for this profession, the prostitution. So, every day in the evening, she used to get nicely dressed up and come and stand in front of the friend of the house, and people, her customers will come to see her. Marga agachado vikshya purushan purusharshabha tan shulkan shulkadan vittavada kandan menertha kamugaha. Then, because she loved money, she wanted the wealth to get from these men, that she will only entertain those who are very rich. She saw their pockets, and that's what has attracted her. And she will entertain them nicely, only those who gave them gave her a lot of wealth. So she was selective in her customers as well. Agadeshu bayadeshu sa sangedo bajivini apyanyo vitavan kobi maubeshadi buridaha evam durashaya dvasta nidra dvarya vadishtadi nirgachandi pravishadi nishidham samavadyanam. Then, every time she is addressed here as Swairini, that whenever she stood outside, people will come and go, and she will weigh them up. Who is capable of giving me more money? And sometimes she will reject them, because she know that they didn't have much money, so she would not accept them. She will wait for the richest person to turn up, so that she could collect more money from them. And that was her approach. And once she was standing like that, it was getting very late in the night. And she could not sleep at night. She sleeps in the day for doing this business at night. And evam nishidam samabadhyadam. The time has gone on like this till midnight. Tasya vittashaya shushyal vaktrayo dina chedasaha nurvedaha paramo jatnye chindahedu sukhavaham. That vittashaya shushyal vaktraya. Because of this intense desire for money, money is sometimes like that. If it is a craze, it builds up inside. That her moment, her face was full of anxiety. How to get so much money? How to get so much money? And the mind has become very disturbed over this. And because she thought about that so long,
suddenly some thought came to her mind. In one second, whole thing changed inside. That's what Bhagavatam is saying, that immediately she was suffering from this desire. Because mostly material desires bring what? It brings suffering, isn't it? If you increase the material desires, more misery. That you work for this, work for that, you have to acquire wealth for fulfilling all your material desires. You need more money. So because of that, he said, he says here, Bhagavatam is saying, that she was very much in stress because of that. Simply suffering out of desires, material desires. But that particular night, it went on for a very long time, but around midnight, some change happened in her. Some change happened in her. What was that change? Suddenly she started thinking like this. What does that happen?
That tasya nirvinna chittaya gidam shrunume shrunyatha mama nirveda asha apashanam purushasya yatha hyasim.
That that Dattatreya Maharshi is saying here, tasya nirvinna chittaya, you can hear a song she has sung at that time, when this vairagyam came to her. Vairagyam means nirvedam. Nirvedam has come to her and she sung a song. Listen to that song, what she sung, says Dattatreya Maharshi here. That, that how vairagyam can turn out to be the sword to cut the attachment from this world. How to cut the attachment from this world. That how this has happened, you can understand that from the song which Pingala has sung. Nurveda ashapashanam purushasya yadahyasi. Purushasya yadahasi. So, this attachment, she had excessive attachment for money. She wanted to make that money. Attachment for money. And she has gone through this day after day. And it was not coming to any fulfillment. No happiness, no peace of mind inside. But on that particular night, something happened to her. Something happened to her. What happened to her? That in the middle of the night, she waited for a long time, nobody turned up. And suddenly she started, her external looking for satisfying senses turned inwards. In one second this happened. That is the mercy of a great devotee. Just by cleaning up that bench for Dattatreya Maharshi to sit, when you should take this into consideration. She asked Dattatreya Maharshi, when will you leave? Isn't it? What did Dattatreya Maharshi answer? Dattatreya Maharshi told Pingala, when the sun rises in the morning, when the light comes out, I will leave. In other words, Dattatreya Maharshi thought in his mind, this poor lady Pingala, born in one of the best places in the world, Mithila, place where Sita Devi was born. There is no other higher place than that. Sita Devi has appeared in Mithila. And me, what am I doing? One of the most abominable things in life to maintain this body. I am engaged in this business. And my desires are unlimited. Sita Devi's tradition, the Janaka Maharaj's tradition, that family's tradition, what am I doing here? This thought occurred to her in her mind. And suddenly a complete disgust to material life came to her by the very mercy of this Dattatreya. Because when she served Dattatreya, Dattatreya thought, this poor lady is suffering like this because of her attachment and desires. Let some proper knowledge develop inside. So when the thought developed in Dattatreya's heart, at the same moment, the same thing happened to Pingala also. Pingala was released from that bondage. So, exactly what? When Pingala thought like this, Dattatreya Maharshi got up from there. As soon as Dattatreya understood that, Pingala has come out of the problem, Dattatreya Maharshi didn't stay one more minute there. He walked out from there. He didn't want to stay. When he said, when the light comes up, I will leave. This was his answer. The light has now come to Pingala. That is what Dattatreya wanted. As soon as Dattatreya realized that the light has got in, because Maya is such a thing, we all get into the same illusion, isn't it? Something or the other, we get infatuated by that. We think this is what we have to acquire in life and keep working for that day and night, but not realizing that it is the very same desire is killing us inside, not allowing us to turn our mind to Krishna inside. This is what's happening. Why our mind has gone so external? Because of the desires inside. Therefore, we are unable to turn the mind inwards. And on Pingala's case, she succeeded in doing that. So what happened to Pingala and Pingala's song is what is discussed from now on. Later on, you will find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, gopis quoting Pingala as an example. If you look into 10th canto, you will see there. And also in the 11th canto later, Pingala is given as an example for this, for going inwards, looking inwards. Pingala vacha, ahome moha vidadim, ahome moha vidadim, pasyeda avijida almana ha, ya kandat asadaha kamam kamaye yena balishaham. Look at me, Pingala is saying, look at my ignorance, that I could not control my mind at all. Yenaya balisha aham asada kama kandat kamam kamaye. Because of that ignorance in me, the stupid I am, that I was looking for happiness from all these men in order to fulfill my desires. So that stupidity she is talking about in four very, very, very powerful verses. And if you read through these four verses, you will see how that transformation has happened to Pingala. She says, Sandam samipe ramanam radipradam vittapradam nityamimam vihaya akamadam dukkhabhayadi shokam mohapradam tuchyamaham bhajetnyam. Sandam samibe ramanam radipradam samibe sandam radipradam vittapradam nityamimam vihaya akamamam dukkhabhayadi shokamohapradam tuchyam ajnya aham bhaje. In other words, somebody is inside me, sitting next close to me. Sandam samibe is very, very close to me. Ramanam radipradam, in other words, Krishna, who is inside the heart, he is capable of giving me pleasure. Only thing is, what has happened? Vittapradam nityam imam vihaya. I have left him. I have left that person who is capable of giving me happiness. And what have I done? Akamadam dukkhamaya adishoga mohapradam. Distress, fear, and adhi. Adhi means the disease of the mind. Shogam, various kinds of miseries, moham, delusion. All these things are present in everyone, isn't it? All these things are present in everyone. I have left Krishna, who is within the heart, who is capable of giving me the true pleasure. And instead, what have I done? I have gone and taken shelter of so many men who are under the grips of all these things. Shokam, dukkham, bhayam, adi, kamam, moham, all these things. And I have thought that they will give me pleasure. This was my first mistake, what I have committed. Pingala is openly admitting that, the mistake what she has committed. Sandam, samibe, ramanam, radipradam, vittapradam, nityamimam, vihaya, akamadam, dukkhamaya, adi, shokam, mohapradam, mohapradam, tuchyamaham, bhajetnyam. That instead of approaching Krishna, who is inside me, so close to me, I have left Krishna and gone after sense gratification outside. Dattatreya Maharshi is telling us, we also is not doing the same thing. That we are thinking that so many things in this world will make us happy. That is why we are still adjusting things in this world. That we are hoping that by our endeavor we can bring happiness to this mind. But mind is never going to be satisfied with anything in this world. Whatever you may provide this from this world outside, still the peace will not come. Peace won't happen. That is the very nature of the material world. We will talk about that proper, because Krishna discusses about it later in the 10th chapter. But at least for the moment, if we realize that what Pingala is talking about, Pingala is saying there that when vairagyam comes to the mind, it will turn to Krishna. So long as there is no vairagyam, the mind will go external, looking for happiness elsewhere. This is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam it says, Bhakti Jnana Vairagyam. Srimad Bhagavatam is stressing this point, Vairagyam, for this reason. That when there is no Vairagyam, there is no Jnanam, there is no Bhakti. It is impossible to develop them as well. So therefore, Aho Mayatma Parida Abhido Vrutha Sangetya Vrutya Adi Vigarhya Vartaya Sraina Naradhyar Kadrusho Nishochyat Krida Enavitam Redi Atmane Charim. Ya aham srainat arthadrushaha anishochyat narad kredena altmana vittam radhi cha ichadi. Sangetya vritya tayamaya adi vigarhe vartaya altma vritha paridabhidaha aho. That I have, Pingala is saying here, I approach men who are after women, who are looking for women. And not only that, I am selling to them my body and trying to make money from that and enjoy life. It is something similar to Ajamila's story, isn't it? Ajamila also was repenting in the same way, in a different reasons. But Pingala is also saying the same thing here. I have forgotten who I am. I have even... Why did this happen? This has happened because Pingala has fallen into the bodily concept of life. That is where it has all begun, isn't it? So, one, so long as one is in the bodily concept of life, he will identify with the body. Along with that, all kinds of material desires will build up. And in order to satisfy those material desires, he will or she will degrade herself further. This is a unbroken law in spiritual life. Why we should take to spiritual life and get ourselves free from the bodily concept of life is this. That in the bodily concept of life, everything what we do is only in ignorance. It is not in knowledge. When we are released from this and we have realized the self, everything what we do is in knowledge. This is the difference between the realized state and in the conditioned state. In the conditioned state, everything what we do is in ignorance. In the realized state, everything what we do is in knowledge. Therefore, you can see, in 1 second, Pingala came to realize this. What a hopeless situation I am in. You see how knowledge comes to a person who has got Vairagyam. She did not study any Shastram. But just the cause that very thought has come by the mercy of Dattatreya Maharshi, Pingala's thought process have changed. And suddenly it was a 180-degree shift to the other way. She started realizing what a hopeless life I am leading. How I have ignored such an important thing in my life. I got birth in a place where all the great souls were realized they were ruling this place. And I too have got my body from this land. And here, what am I doing? Completely absorbed in gratifying my senses and trying to acquire more wealth by the most abominable way from those men who are looking for happiness in the body. So, This can happen to anyone. This can happen to anyone in life. It is not that it's happened to Pingala only. In many, many instances, this has happened in the history. It has happened to Vilumangalam in the same way. Vilumangalam was very much attracted by Chintamani, his wife. And he married her. But in one instance, if you remember, if you read Karnamrutam and read it, you will see there. Vilumangalam one night came back home very late. And in that process, he could not stay away from her. He was so attached to her. And it was raining heavily and he had to cross over the river and come to the house. And he took a lot of risk, which is all there in the history, you can read that. But when she saw him and saw his state of mind, that he was so attached to her and he had taken so much risk to get home that night, she asked him, if you had the same attachment for Krishna, how worthwhile the life would have been. That very second, Vilumangalam's mind turned. Vilumangalam realized that, and from Vilumangalam we got Krishna Arnamadam. So, to turn one's life from a sinful life or from a materially conditioned life to spiritual life doesn't take very long. It is not going to take a lot of time, provided you get the mercy of somebody like this. That in the case of Pingala's case, it was the Dattatreya Maharshi's mercy. Some great soul has to think only once, or even Krishna. If he thinks, let some proper knowledge come to this fool, so that let this fool change his way of thinking. Otherwise, in the power of illusion, in Maya's energy, we'll continue to act in the same way what we have acted. We will never change. So, what has happened to Pingala at that time? Pingala started looking at her own body. At her own body. Not only that, that she says there, that one who is looking at this body, when she looked at her own body, she started realizing, what is the difference between my body and the person whom I am looking for, his body. Both are made of the same thing. But Pingala puts it in a much nicer way, so that it makes us also to think about our own body a little bit.
Yadasti virnarmida vamsha vashya stunam tvacha romanakhai pinadham charannavadvaram agaram edam vinmutra purnam madhubaidi kanya.
This is a very famous verse in the Bhagavadam. It is very dear to everyone, because this verse will wake us up to little bit. Instead of getting this body, how is this body made of?
Yet astibhir nirmida vamsha vashyam, yet astibhi nirmida vamsha vashya stunam tvacha roma nakhai pinadham charannavadvaram vinmutra purnam edad agaryam madanyaka upaiti.
It is like a house. This body is like a house. What is the beauty of the house? It is engineered very well. That's the beauty of this body. Why is that? In this body, there is the main beam, isn't it? In a house, when you build, you have got the there's a beam on which the central beam, as you call it, I don't know what to say, the main beam from which the rafters run on either side, isn't it? The rafters. And on the top of the rafters, they bang the creepers, and then they put the tiles on and cover it up. So similarly, this body also has got that central beam. What is that? Our backbone, isn't it? The backbone is that central beam. And from that, there is a lot of creepers running both sides, isn't it? You can see on our body at the back, if you look, these ribs which come, they are the creepers. They are the rafters which come from the central beam. And what else have they done? In that beam, stunam tvaja romanakhai pinadham. So the body is made of these bones. Bones, it's made of bones, isn't it? This beam is made of bone, and then the bones are kept like rafters coming from that. And then the whole thing is covered with what? Stunam tvacha romanakhai pinadham. That with the skin, with the hair, and with the nails. These are the things which are used to cover up this whole thing. This house is built like that. It is just like the in the olden days they cover up with the hay or from the or leaves. Somehow they use them for covering up and as the roof. So similarly, our body is covered with these three things: hair and nails, and also the skin. And at the same time, this has got 9 holes in this body, which is continuously leaking. All the 9 holes are continuously leaking. It is such a disgusting and filthy thing in this world. But what do? We dress up nicely, and to show the rest of the world everything is fine with us. Isn't it? Everybody knows this. These 9 holes in the body, which one of them can you say is better than the other? Each one of them has got these problems. So therefore Pingala is saying here, yadasti virnam idavam shavashya stunam tvacha romanakhai pinadham charannavadvaram akharam edam vinmutravurnam madhubaidikanyal. That what is coming out through these holes, what flows out, we don't want even to look at it. Why? Because although we are carrying it happily inside the body, thinking that, oh, I am very clean, I am a Brahmana, no, I am very clean inside, outside. What Brahman inside is all this only. What is the purity there? So why is it like this, that we are feeling still very attachment to the body, that somehow or the other, when there is no spiritual realization, you cannot hate this body. You cannot develop this understanding of the body when there is no spiritual realization. because we are absorbed in identifying with the body, we think ourselves, we are this body. Therefore, it says here, Charam Navadvaram. Navadvaram means the nine holes. It is flowing out. Agaramedam, what? Vinmutrapurnam. the urine and the stool that's coming out through these different nine holes in this body. And Tadubaidikanyaha. This is what in my body, and this is what in the body of the person whom I am trying to make money out of. This is what she is saying. That, so, when the man comes, I have to show her that I love him very much. I have a lot of attraction for him. And therefore, I have to say to him, oh, how beautiful you are. What beautiful, this is what he is made of. So, she is analyzing this body threadbare and telling us, Is this what I have to love in this world? So look at my own stupidity. She is calling herself a stupid, saying this, that inside me, I am living and I am functioning because Supreme Personality, spiritual truth is shining inside me. The spiritual spark, Krishna is present inside me. Therefore, this whole nine holes and this body which is made of all these disgusting things is functioning in this world. The moment that spiritual spark leaves this body, nobody wants to look at that body anymore. Isn't it? No one wants to look at that body anymore. We appreciate somebody's beauty. What are we appreciating? Actually, we are appreciating Krishna's presence in that body. Only when Krishna is present in the body, that body is beautiful. The moment Krishna leaves that body, or the soul leaves that body, nobody wants to look at that body anymore. Bhairya bibhyadi tasmin kaye. Ajari Swamiji says there. Then, Bhairya bibhyadi tasmin kaye. The wife who was embracing the husband's body for several days and several nights throughout their married life, as soon as the spiritual spark of Krishna leaves that body, she turns her head away. She is frightened to look at that body at that point. It's the same with the other side also. Husband with the wife or wife with the husband. It is in the Bhajan Govindam prayers, you can see there. That Bhairya Bibhyadi Tasmin Kaye. Even your own so-called wife does not want to look at you at that point when the soul leaves the body. This body is worthwhile. So it is this body we have identified with. That's what she is saying here. That that I had, she is repenting at that time in her mind. She's saying, I got an opportunity to associate with a great soul, the Dattatreya Maharshi, but still my mind went in the wrong direction. So by now, the Dattatreya Maharshi has already left the place because what he wanted her to understand has gone in the message. After that, he has no more business to stay there. He has packed up and left the place. Videhanam pure asmin ahamega iva mudhadi yanyam ichchande satyasmad asmad atmadad kamamachyudan. So he says here that asadiya aham atmadad achyudad anyam kama ichchadi, that I am so disgusted, I am so bad in my heart that instead of thinking about Krishna, who is giving me the identity as aham, I, the soul, I am existing because of Krishna's presence in me. And it is only due to him that even all these desires are coming up inside, isn't it? Because of the presence of the soul inside. In association with the modes of nature, the mind, senses, sense objects, desires builds up inside. The capacity to desire even is coming from him. If the soul does not give that ability to the mind to desire, you can't desire anything. So everything has come from the soul. Or in other words, the person who is behind everything, I have completely ignored him. Pingala says there, and I am desiring all this rubbish, what she was talking about, that I am the only stupid person in this great city of Mithila. That was her statement. I am the only stupid person in this whole city of Mithila. And then she took a decision. What was the decision? I will not do this. I will do this in the future in this way. And what she is going to do in the future, she is going to talk about that.
Sukhral Prashtadamo Natha Atma Chayam Sharirinam Tam Vikriya Atmane Ivaham Reme Anena Yatharamaham. Sukhal Prashtadamo Natha Atma Chayam Sharirinam. I am Sukhrat Sharirinam Atma Prashtadama Nathaschaha. This Supreme Personality who is inside in me, Pingala is saying there, that he is the best friend for everyone. And he is the soul of everybody. And therefore he is most dear to everybody. He is the best friend of everyone. He is the soul of everyone. And therefore he is most dear to everybody. This is the first thing we have to recognize. That we are thinking that we have so many faith, our faith we have deposited in so many places. In the family, in the society, in the bank, in so many places like that. Our faith is all there. That they are my friends. They will protect me. They will shelter me. Pingala is telling us important thing. Your true friend or the real friend is inside you, sitting there. Turn your head towards him. This is Pingala's first request. And she says here, Tam Atmaneva Vikriya Rama Yatha Tatha Anena Reme. Ramadevi is Mahalakshmi. Mahalakshmi and me, there is no difference. She is saying, what did Mahalakshmi do? Mahalakshmi surrendered herself to Vishnu or Krishna. Mahalakshmi surrendered her, and the result was that she became a devotee and she eternally engaged in service of Krishna and became happy that way. Mahalakshmi became like that. I am going to become like Mahalakshmi. Ramadevi, she says here. Pingala says, like Mahalakshmi has done, I am also turning towards Krishna for my happiness, nowhere else. And no more serving anybody. That's the next words in Pingala. Kiyal priyam devya bhajan kamaye kamada nayaha adhyandavando bharyaya devava kala vidrudaham. That everything has a beginning and an end. Similarly, this sense enjoyment also, it has got a beginning as well as an end. You cannot have unlimited sense enjoyment all the time, because senses are created in such a way, if you enjoy senses too much, you will have to suffer for that. It will develop into diseases. Or the body does not have the capacity to enjoy the senses in an unlimited way. So therefore, Pingala is saying here, that the because it has got a beginning and an end, it is foolish to go after them. Rather, if I try to please Krishna, the happiness that will come from that and surrender myself to Krishna, it will never be, it is undisturbed and it endures forever. That this happiness, what he is saying here, that desires and those who are fulfilling those desires, which means the demigods, that what have they done even for their own wives? What could they do? Because they can also not help anything. Everything related with sense gratification also has its own limitations. Pingala is saying there, why should I waste my time in trying to satisfy my desires in this way and eventually waste my whole life? This was Pingala's logic. So Pingala says there, because of that I have decided to stop giving service to anybody else. And she congratulates herself for that. Noonam me Bhagavan Prito Vishnu Kena Bhikarmana Narvedo Ayam Durashaya Yenme Jata Sukhavaham. That somehow or the other Krishna is pleased with me now. She herself felt like that. Krishna is very much pleased with me. She says here, Bhagavan Vishnu Kena Bhikarmana Me Noonam Pritaha. Otherwise, yad durashaya me sukhavaha, I am nurveda jadaha. Because only a few minutes ago, my mind was completely absorbed in gratification, sense gratification. How did this change of heart happen to me? She says, unless Krishna is pleased with me. Unless
Krishna is pleased with me. This is the important point, that this vairagyam, in order sometimes, this is just to give you a how vairagyam is difficult in many cases. That it is another word in our in the Sanskrit dictionary is asakti. Asakti means excessive attachment to anything in this world is called asakti. Asakti means difficult to break away from that. Some people has got asakti for different things. Somebody likes to eat well, lot of asakti for eating first class food. Somebody has got asakti for sense enjoyment with the opposite sex. That becomes a strong asakti in them. Somebody has asakti for craziness for acquiring wealth. This is an asakti in them. Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, my asakta manapartha, the same way you have asakti for this excessive attachment for all these things, if you can turn that attachment towards me, yogam yunjan madashaya, you can develop the yoga process. That's what Krishna is saying there. So, to give you an example, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there that Vasudeva and Devaki, Krishna's parents, they had great attachment to have children, isn't it? Attachment to have children. If you remember, in the two previous lifetime, Vasudeva and Devaki, in the first appearance, they were Prishnigarbha and Sutapas. In the second one, Kashyapa Prajapati and Aditi Devi. And in the third birth, they came as Vasudeva and Devaki. In all the three births, Krishna appeared for them as children. Because when they were performing penances in the earlier, before all these three births happened, they were praying to Krishna for asking Krishna to come as their son. As their son. Krishna fulfilled that desire. Krishna fulfilled that desire also. He appeared as Prishnigarbha in the first time as Prishni and Sutapas, and came as Vamanamurti in the case of Kashyapa Prajapati and Aditi Devi. And in the third time, when Vasudeva and Devaki appeared, Krishna came as himself. Krishna came himself as Vasudeva, Krishna's son. While appearing in the prison, Krishna told Vasudeva and Devaki, what did Krishna say to Vasudeva and Devaki? That how should we look after you? Even at that time, Vasudeva and Devaki were thinking, here is our son. The attachment has not gone away still. Yuvamam putra bhavena brahma bhavena chasakrat. There Krishna says to Vasudeva and Devaki, look after me as your son, putra bhavena. Show all the affection and attachment to me. But at the same time, brahma bhavena chasakrat, you should also know who I am. I am the Supreme Brahman, Supreme Personality. Myself, Krishna is Supreme Personality and Godhead. So develop that understanding also within you. Not only simply think that I am your beloved son, so all the time live a happy life as a family member. That's not the only goal. Krishna instructed this in the prison to Vasudeva and Devaki. Nothing happened. They continued in the same way as before, that they could not come out of this attachment to Krishna as their son. It was very difficult. Very excessive attachment in that family life was there in Vasudeva and Devaki's heart. The result was that this was the reason why Krishna had to get the first six children of Vasudeva and Devaki killed by Kamsa. Because Krishna understood, even after three lifetimes, Vasudeva and Devaki's attachment has not gone away. So sometimes in material life also, when somebody develops excessive attachment to anything, sometimes Krishna realizes that this person is unable to give it up unless he hits very hard on that person. So he gives a very heavy punishment in order that he will wake up at that point from that attachment. Because that is the nature of the attachment in this world, that sometimes it is essential that Krishna has to apply some heavy punishment on us. So punishment in the sense, in order to take us, break away that attachment to that particular object. Attachment to anything in this world is going to cause problems. Whether it is son, wife, mother, father, or anything. That does not mean that you don't look after them. You have to do what you have to do in this world. But this attachment is not the goal of life. They have come due to karma, they have come together. And the very same karma will separate you also from them. You are on your own, and in your spiritual progress, they cannot be much of a help. But at the same time, because of certain reasons that they have brought you together, you have to perform in a particular way. That's all it means. But often what happens is the other way. That sometimes the attachment grows, and this attachment gets worse day by day. And even at the time of death, while leaving the body, you will still be attached to someone in the family member, where you have taken shelter in some form or the other. So, in the Vasudeva and Devaki's case, if this can happen, even to such an extent, you may wonder that in order to get Krishna as the son, if you have to go through all this, that you have to have first 6 children who will be killed right in front of you by a demon called Kamsa. And you have to witness all these things. If it is so difficult to get Supreme Personality of Godhead as your child, it is not a very easy task, isn't it? This process is not very easy. This Krishna consciousness process is not very attractive. But why it is happening, you have to realize, is this, that sometimes our attachment in this world is so deep-rooted. Unless it is hit very hard by something in this world, by some energy, we will not break that. We won't wake up to the reality of this world. So, therefore, Pingala is also saying here, Nunam me Bhagavan Prito Vishnukena Abhigarmana Narvedo Yam Durashaya Yenme Jada Sukhavaham. That my Vamsir Mandavagyaya Klesha Narveda Hedava Yenanubhandam Narhritya Purusha Shamamrucharim. That then, if I was such an unfortunate person, none of these things would have become a cause for my renunciation. That is Pingala's point. Pingala's point is this, that if I was a very unfortunate person, distress or none of these miseries would have become a cause for my realization. This vairagyam will not have come to me. Yena purushaha anubhandam nirhritya shamam hrachadi. And once you have got this vairagyam, you are free from everything. There is no more connection with anything in this world. Unless Krishna's mercy is there, this vairagyam will not happen. Ajari Swamiji says about this, kaupina vanda khalu bhagyavantaha. That one who has got only kaupinam, that means the brahmachari underwear, he is the most fortunate person in this world. Kaubina vanda khalu bhagya vandaha. How fortunate? Why? Because there is no more attachment to anything in this world. Even that kaubinam, for the sake of the society, one has to wear. To such an extent, the great sages have given us this understanding. Teno bhakadamada aya shirasa gramya sangadaha. Tetva durasha sharanam rajami tamadhishwaram rajami tadvadhishwaram. That this mercy what Krishna has shown to her, now I have been given this opportunity, let me surrender unto Krishna. Saying that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is present within herself, thinking about that, she went to sleep. She went to sleep means what? She got released from this bondage, from this world. I'll stop there. We'll continue next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Yeah.